I think you were doing this at least part of the time as an associate of the American Friends Service Committee or of Quakers in general. Does this mean that there's also Presbyterians and Catholics and, you know, Muslims, Hindus, everybody running around doing this kind of message building of dialogue between the opponents?
There were a few other groups, and often there were just other people. We discovered at some points that certain journalists could work this way, that if there were a journalist whose integrity was respected, who had written fair stories after having interviews, that they would be used. I guess I hadn't realized how helpless leaders are when their countries are at war with another group. I mean, you really can't talk with them, and they are the most important people to deal with. So there aren't a lot of other groups. There aren't a lot of other groups that have credibility. As you say, if an American shows up and says, I want to be helpful, the premise would be they're with the CIA. If they're a religious group, an evangelical religious group, then there's a suspicion that ultimately this is an effort to convert people. So there is a kind of neutrality that Quakers or Mennonites have because of their historical heritage. We can't entirely get rid of the fact that we are Americans and English speakers. During the message carrying between India and Pakistan, it was almost cute. I hadn't realized how wise the British Quakers had been to tuck an American into the team, because at the time we were carrying messages, India was quite angry with Britain. They felt that Britain had not been supportive of India's position. And so on one of our occasions, when the three of us were sitting in somebody in the Indian foreign policy section of the government, the Indian official with whom we were speaking turned his chair around so he had his back to the two British Quakers and talked to me, because he said, we're very angry with the British, with the British Broadcasting Corporation, but I can talk to you. And I thought, well, this is pretty funny. You know, we're all in the same room. But he had to make the point that he felt the British had been harmful to the Indian position. And so the fact that I was there was a plus, because then my British Quaker friends heard what he was saying, but he was able to maintain his sense that India's angry with Britain, and I'm an Indian representative, so I can't be friendly to the British. We almost always try to have at least two Quakers. For much of the Sri Lanka work, I was working with a British Quaker of India's background. He was a British citizen, but his name is Ramamurthy, and he'd grown up as a Tamil. So he could speak some Tamil. He spoke Burmese Tamil, which is a little bit different from Sri Lankan Tamil. But a lot of stuff is happening when you're talking, body language and emphasis. And you'd sit down after one of these things to make your notes and realize how different interpretations could come. So there's kind of a check of each other. And we did typically keep very confidential notes of what happened and then relay these back to the groups that sent us, so they had some source of information for sending future teams out.